Is there like the one skill that you can, that is, that if you were a newcomer today, like you pick that one skill and focus on that, and that kind of gives you an advantage in the hiring process?
If I were to have to pick one skill, I would have to say communication, right? Because we have a lot of smart people that come to Canada, right? But they're just not able to...
Welcome back to Newcomers Podcast, people, where I explore what it means to be an immigrant with immigrants like myself, and sometimes people who aren't immigrants, but who work with immigrants. Today, I'm talking with Luki Danukayanto. Did I get that right?
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's great to hear. You know, why I really wanted to talk with Luki was, Luki is all about soft skills. And I think in today's age where AI is eating everything and where every single day we keep hearing, oh, this job is dead. Oh, jobs are dead. White collar jobs are dead. I felt like it was really good to come talk to him because as immigrants, when we moved to Canada, I think it feels like most of the conversation we have is around, oh, what are the hard skills you have? What are the technical skills you have? We still get those skills and we struggle. And I'm like, why are we struggling? And so that's what I hope to explore with Luki today. Welcome.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for allowing me to be on your podcast. So I'm very humbled to be here to share what I know about soft skills. And really, I like to call them human skills because I don't think they're soft. They're nothing. Well, they're something that every human needs. So definitely can talk about it, but most people know them as soft skills, which is why I kind of keep that that naming.
And I think that's probably a very good place to start, because I think even the framing itself, that your framing is actually important, because they are human skills, and maybe it even lines up with where the world's at right now, because there's probably the human skills versus the robot skills. Like the robot can do a couple of things, but it can't do other things. You know. And probably my first question would be, like, what even led you to this? Like, how did you start thinking about this? Like, why soft skills? Like, why? Was it a personal experience? Was it just work? Or was it, you know, how you explored and found yourself here?
Yeah. So my background is probably a very unlikely one for this because of all things, my undergrad was in computer science. So I was actually technical. I wanted to code video games as a kid, and a lot of folks around me were all in the tech bubble. I don't know if you've ever heard of Deal or No Deal, which is the expectation that you become a doctor, engineer, accountant, lawyer.
Right? Yeah, it's a thing back in Nigeria too.
I couldn't become an engineer, so I became a computer scientist, and engineer light is kind of what I joke it as. And a lot of people were getting into the tech scene. So Silicon Valley was growing at the time I was going into school, and it was pretty hot to know how to code and all that. And unfortunately, when I graduated, the dot-com bubble burst, and folks in tech, it was really hard to get a job. So not too dissimilar to today. SARS was on his way. There's a whole bunch of different things that were happening in the world. So kind of circa 2001, 2002, the economy wasn't doing so hot. But luckily, when I graduated, I had a friend whose brother was looking for a developer, looking for a job. And as luck would have it, I ended up at Deloitte, right? So Deloitte, one of the big four accounting firms, I was in their consulting side. And I moved from the tech side into the business world, right? So I learned soft skills the hard way, right? Through lots of trial and error and plenty of mistakes, lots and lots of awkward conversations, because one of the top soft skills is communication. And I was okay as a communicator, but not good at all, right? Better than most kind of stereotypical computer scientists, but still needed a lot of work. So I spent over 12 years there, and then I ultimately left after what I call my quarter career crisis, because I was being groomed to become a partner. And I realized that I don't want that path. I would rather do something more meaningful with the work. The work that they're doing is fantastic. It's awesome. And anybody who wants to do consulting, more power to you and do it. It's fun. But I wanted something else and different. And after a lot of soul searching, talking to mentors, it was coaching that I found. And one of the reasons is, while I was at Deloitte, I used to also run their undergrad campus recruiting program. So I was a lot of the times on campus talking to students and like asking them, like, why should we hire you and all that sort of stuff. And ultimately, the conversation ended up with someone, and they was like, well, why should we hire you? And then they would like puff out their chest, like, wow, you want to hire me because of blah, 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 blah. And then I would say, no, hold on. Why should we really hire you? Or why do you want to get into management consulting in general? And it, for a lot of folks, it was, because I have no idea what I want to do. And management consulting allowed me to explore all these different areas so that I could actually find what I want to do. Right. And because I couldn't become a doctor, engineer, accountant, lawyer. So that's my next way in. So fast forward to today, like, I would be having lots of conversations with people to share guidance and advice, hence the writing of the book, Product Placement Over Here, Stuff I Wish I Knew Earlier. And ultimately, most, if not all of those pieces of advice were somehow related to soft skills. So whether it be communication, whether it be your mindset, whether it be your social skills or time management, things like that. It ultimately led into that. So I think it was last year I adopted the name The Soft Skills Guy, and we'll see how long that sticks. And I guess I throughout that journey, I've always been a learner. So I will never say that I'm an expert in anything. But I just spend a lot more time on certain things than others, right? So I'm pretty good at a lot of the soft skills. So probably long answer to short question, but basically computer science to consulting to education to the soft skills guy. That's kind of how it played out.
Yeah, that's an interesting journey. And then when you're talking about the students, I couldn't help but start wondering if like the students are like immigrants, you know, like how when we just land and we're job hunting. And so someone will ask you, like, why do you want this job? For some of us, we just want, like, I need to pay the bills, you know? So, you know, that's why I want the job, you know? And yeah. So we do all that. And then we get into the job. And then the environment really asks us, like, so why are you here? Like, you know, because, and at that point in time, we think or we assume that I know enough to kind of survive. But then we forget that the human skills are the part where you start. That's how you show how much you want this job. Like, you have the skill, you can have the skill set, but you can't communicate. If you can't express yourself, you don't have social skills. If you can't manage your emotions, then I'm just like, okay, then you struggle. You know, I mean, there's the cultural nuance of Canada and all that, but like, I just couldn't help but start thinking about how the students are so similar to what immigrants go through as they try to settle into the workplace. And I wonder, maybe this is a question for you. I don't know if you have any data on how many jobs does it take us to kind of finally say we're settled in the workplace. Is there any data on that?
I'm not sure if I have data, but the anecdotal conversations that I have is for newcomers, the ones that have recently immigrated to Canada. So we're in Canada. It's a land of immigrants, right? We have a lot of folks here from abroad and elsewhere. And the folks that I talk to, like, there's a whole spectrum. For some of them, it's just the first job, right? And then they settle in because they find something amazing, because Canada's the land of opportunity, and they're able to find that. For others, they don't even hit that, where they're still working at Tim Hortons or Esso or whatever, still waiting for their next break in there. And then everybody in between. And I think the difference between the two are how they approach, I guess, the expectations, the opportunities that are there, on whether or not everything will be just handed to them, or if they have to work for it. Because there are tons of opportunities here, but you do have to understand how to get them, which is why a lot of these soft skills things like networking, building relationships, all of that is super important. Because if I were to hire you back in your home country, right, you were in this top university, in this top role and all that sort of stuff. The challenge with Canada is it has taken all of those people in the top universities, top roles, and brought them all here and had them compete against each other in kind of the octagon of Canada in the job search, and said, now all of you top people, you have to compete. And that's where hard skills don't really matter anymore, because they're all smart. They all have master's degrees. They all have PhDs. They all have 5 and 10 years of experience, right? So what's going to differentiate you versus the other person? It's usually the way you're able to articulate that. And then we're also at this weird time in human evolution, where historically it used to be all about like manufacturing, productivity, farming, agriculture, and stuff like that. It was what you could do with your hands, right? Mm. Now, for the past couple of decades, it was knowledge, right? Who knew the most, who had the hard skills, the algorithms, the formulas, and stuff like that. With AI coming on the scene a year or so ago, right? That knowledge doesn't matter anymore, right? So this is now the transition into the human part of things, where any newcomers coming in have to bear the brunt of both, where they're coming to this new place plus this change. So all this stuff where their hard skills were at the pedestal and on top of everything, it's now down here. And the soft skills, they never took the course on mindset, communication, social skills, productivity, time management, leadership, creativity. So how are they going to be able to compete? Until you learn how to package all of what you've had, because they've done all these things, but they just don't know necessarily how to express themselves, how to build the relationships, how to share it with others. So again, long answer to short question, but that's...
I love it.
That's essentially...
I love that answer, honestly. And I was going to follow up and just say to you that, and I usually don't like to do this, but I would say that, I mean, there's maybe it makes it a bit more nice. What is there like the one skill that you can, that is, that if you were a newcomer today, like you pick that one skill and focus on that, and that kind of gives you an advantage in the hiring process? Or is it a function of saying there are a couple of the tools you need to adopt quickly and get going and get the job and then start practicing to get better at it? So I'm almost asking, is there a shortcut, or is there like the long, hard journey to doing this?
Yeah, it all depends. But if I were to have to pick one skill, I would have to say communication. Right? Because we have a lot of smart people that come to Canada, right? But they're just not able to communicate their value in the same way. So this whole concept of Canadian experience, in my view, that's just the polite Canadian way of saying, I don't believe you can do the job, right? Because I know a ton of people without Canadian experience that do get hired. But usually that means they were able to articulate their value better than the other person that was competing. Right. So it didn't matter whether they have Canadian experience or not, because if you think about it, for any of you who've been working for a while, it's all the same, whether you're working here or in Asia or in Africa or whatever. It's all I was talking to someone that every problem is actually a human problem. If you go back to it, it's a human problem. And humans, they're slightly different, but around there, it's just the proportion of which are there. Yeah. And if you can communicate your ideas with other folks, then that will probably be the thing that lands you a job. Now, all these soft skills are so interrelated because, well, how do you communicate well when you have high stress or anxiety? So you need your mindset skills. And how do you get your communication better when your time management skills and you're not able to practice and do all that sort of stuff? Or your social skills are awkward, right? Which is a heavy reliance on communication. So they're all interrelated, but if I had to pick one, communication, right? And a lot of folks, they come in and English is not their first language, right? But most of them, their English is good. It's fine. But their confidence in speaking English is not there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I'll talk to a lot of newcomers and they'll be so concerned about their English because their grammar is not exactly right. They have a little bit of an accent. They have whatever. but I can understand you fine. But when you don't have that confidence, it comes across. And if you don't have confidence in talking to me now, will you have confidence when you do the job? Maybe not, right?
Yeah.
So if I were to recommend one, it would be communication. But at some point, that necessitates that the other ones are not drawing you back, right? Because if you are so self-conscious, awkwardly shy or whatever, you may want to work on those ones before you work on these other ones, right?
Yeah. So. I'm just building on that, I'm wondering, when from the people you meet and talk to, so how do folks who are, because I hear you on Kaizen experience and the fact that sometimes is that you can't communicate yourself properly. And like, so for example, one thing I did for myself was before I landed here, I was doing what I call informational interviews. Mm. And all that was just, I was in Nigeria. I was doing calls sometimes by 12 midnight my time, but I was just talking right to folks because I wanted to do one, get my story right. Like, kind of understand what am I saying to folks I'm going to meet in interviews. I got a job in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's because partially I had done a lot of prep before I landed. But I'm also probably aware that to some extent I probably had some privilege. I stayed in a friend's house. So I was comfortable and maybe I came with some money and just a ton of other things, which is expected. But I'm just wondering how folks who are dealing with high stress, for example, so you move within certain conditions, how do those people find a way to get past that to show off the soft skills? Because then also the other thing to add is that I'm sure you'd agree with me that immigrating to a new country is one of the most high stress activities someone ever does in their life, I think. Sure, yeah. And so sometimes when you now add that with all the uncertainty and stuff, then it shows up in other things. But still, I still think it shouldn't be a 100% excuse. But how do you coach folks who are dealing with that to kind of overcome that and show up at those interviews ready to do the job?
So is it how do you overcome stress? Is the question? Is the fundamental of it? Or?
I'm also being careful not to for you to start a coaching session on here because I'm sure that's paid for.
Yeah.
But it's more like, okay, maybe the question is how do you overcome stress? But it's more like how do you help folks see that despite all that stress and despite all the excuses we give ourselves of why we are struggling, that a lot of the work is on us, not on the other person. Because one big issue I have with immigrant conversations, a lot of the times we tend to victimize ourselves. We become the victim. And I'm like, and that's why I like the human skills thing, because the human skill, if you start practicing your human skills, it forces you to flip the conversation to face you and how what you control, which is yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So one realization that folks need to have is that nobody can make you feel anything. All feelings come from internally, yourself. And it's up to you to feel that way. So an expression that I love, for there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Right? Worth repeating. For there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So stress is actually not a bad thing, right? Stress allows you to grow, right? I use the example of a lobster, right? When lobster grows, it molts. There's an intense pressure inside its body. It loses its shell and it gets bigger and it gets stronger, right? So pressure, stress it's not stress. It's just a sign that you're growing, right? You're doing something different and nobody has ever grown from their comfort zone. So unfortunately, different growth is uncomfortable, right? And there are lots of things that are uncomfortable and you can choose whether that discomfort is growth or like anxiety or whatever it is you want. You decide and you label it. So one of the interesting things is to be able to change the thoughts and feelings that you have, right? So again, nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Your initial thought is, oh my gosh, I have this interview with this person. If I don't get this job, I won't be able to feed my family. I won't be able to blah, 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 this doom spiral of something. Yeah. Or you could say, I have this amazing opportunity to showcase my value, to help this company, to achieve all their other goals, to make my family proud and feed them, right? And give them the dream that they've always wanted. Now, which is true?
Both are true, depending on how you see it.
100%. And the problem is, for a lot of folks, they've chosen the more negative side, because unfortunately, humans are naturally negative seeking, right? Just because that kept us alive. They kept our ancestors alive, right? Because if there was like a movement in the tall grass over there, and you're like, it might be a lion. Okay.
You're dying.
You checked it out. Well, you run. But if for the people who said, it's probably nothing, they probably got eaten. Right? But those ancestors aren't alive. So unfortunately, like as humans, as mammals, we are naturally negative seeking because it kept us alive. But if you think about like current 2026, if you go outside, there's really nothing that'll like kill you, right? You're not going to get a saber-toothed tiger or whatever. I mean, don't step into oncoming traffic or anything like that. But like you have to go through so many different things until you're actually eaten by a lion, right? But our brains think otherwise because they're still living with the same programming as our ancestors. So that interview is the equivalent of being chased by a lion, right? And all of those things. So we have to be able to change our programming, and which is why even though I put communication there, mindset is probably the meta skill for all of them.
Yeah.
Because if you don't control your mind, your communication is going to be all over the place. You're not going to be able to say something coherent. You're not going to be able to articulate. You're not even going to be able to put out a word, right? So, hopefully that answers your question.
Are you stoic? Do you do stoicism? Because that's such a stoic philosophy, to be honest.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. So I wouldn't say I'm stoic, but I am a learner, a student of all of these different philosophies. And I take what makes sense for me and I share it out to whoever needs it, right? So absolutely. Yeah. And all of those are just the ancient soft skills traditions brought down from generation to generation. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because it's such good advice. It's hard to take for most people because we have to do a lot of learning, mm-hmm. you know, but it's such good advice because yes, we always think that what's the worst that could happen? I mean, that's a saying actually. What's the worst that could, we actually like, why, what's the best that could happen? Why do we say what's the best that could happen? But what's the worst that could happen? Why the worst? Like, why the worst?
Yeah. And you want to plan for the worst, but you want to expect the best, right?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we help to achieve that expectations, but not without a lot of practice, right? Because you show up to the interview, and unless you haven't tell me about yourself or tell me about your strengths like 100,000 times, like how good will you be? So a lot of these things, it just takes practice. Communication takes practice. The mindset shifts take practice. All of this stuff takes practice.
I know we've talked about, we've said communication and mindset, but are there like must have soft skills for the Canadian workplace?
So I have what I call the human skills toolkit, which is basically composed of soft skills. So I put mindset, communication, social skills, thinking skills, so that's like learning and critical thinking, productivity skills, which is basically time management, creativity, which is like the innovation and resourcefulness, and then leadership, right? So seven skills in the soft skills bucket. Then I have life skills, right? Which are things like physical health, mental health, financial health, social health, and spiritual health. Because if you don't have those, everything's just harder. If you're not sleeping or eating right, everything just gets harder. And then you have job search skills, which are the networking, interviews, applications. And then you have all the hard skills, right? So those four big buckets and pillars are what everybody needs. Now, not everybody needs to be a 10 out of 10 on everything, but you need to be at least a 5 out of 10 on all of them. And then certain ones, depending on your role, you might need more of communication, more of productivity, more of leadership, more of whatever. But you at least have to make it so that it's not a negative on you, because this market especially is so much more tight and conservative that even the like sevens, even the 8 out of 10s are not getting hired. The companies are waiting for the 9, the 10 out of 10s candidates to come in, right? So a lot of folks will come to me and I'll ask them, how did you do on the interview? Oh, I did pretty good. I think I was a 7 out of 10. Are you a 7? And most people wouldn't hire a 7 in this market. And the other part is people put 7 out of 10 because they think they're average, right? But the problem is average means you're a 5 out of 10, right? Because that's the middle. But school has taught you that 7 out of 10 is average because the 5 is a fail. Yeah. So most people, when they think they're a 7, they're actually a 5. And none of you would want to hire a 5. Would want to work with a 5, right? So how do you get yourself to be above average and even exceptional in all that? That's the hard truth with a lot of folks is they're good, they're average. But unfortunately, 2026, average doesn't cut it, right? 2019, maybe average was fine, pre-pandemic, right? Even a couple of the years in between. 2026, especially with AI and stuff, everything is moving, and the targets, the goals have changed a little bit.
Yeah, the market is a mess right now. I mean, it's a mess.
But there is a ton of hiring happening. It's just being done in a very different way, because I can no longer rely on my resume. So I was in a recruiting role this time last year, and I could see a marked difference where at the beginning, if I saw maybe 100 resumes come through, really half of them were no good. And I'd probably be only looking at probably 30 of them, right? Which would be acceptable, maybe 20 of them. And then I'd shortlist. But now, and towards the end of it, instead of having only 30 to look at, there were like 80, because AI has made everybody's resume good, right? And not only are there 100 posts, there's now 400 people applying to the same role, because it just makes it so much easier and automates it, right? So I'm not looking at 20, 30 resumes. I'm looking at 300. So what am I going to do? I'm going to reach out to any sort of cues that will signal, hey, this person is worth an interview, instead of you going through another pile of 100 to find that candidate, that needle in the haystack, right? And I get people who, like, we have so many people come through, they've gone through an interview cycle and they can't find a good candidate. Because part of it is also that communication piece, right? On paper, you look great, but then when you open your mouth, you're not able to articulate your value because you're good. But you can't be good in this market. You got to be great.
Jeez.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I guess life. I mean, you said there's no good or bad news. It's just how you think of it.
So. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, are we going, and this is just a random offside question, are we going to a world where referrals rule totally? Because if AI is making the hiring process this hard, because I've had someone say to me that they had a rule out and they had 2,000 applicants. So the 2,000, and a lot of it was just AI CVs, AI cover letters. And they're like, if you can use AI to check, why should I hire you? And I'm like, so how did you get? But so they got someone to refer someone. And that's how they hired the person. I just listened to you talk. Now I'm wondering, are we going to that world where it's like you have to know someone to get a job? Is it possible we get there?
I don't think so. I think there will always be part of the world that does that. Right. Because to be honest, whether you like it or not, the world runs on relationships. It's not what you know. It's not who you know. It's who knows you is the expression. Yeah. Right. So the real world, actually, that's how it works. Now, we've been able to get away with it for a lot of time, because they were these things. But now you see the cracks. of it. So I don't think, so there'll always be part of that, but there will be someone who invents a new recruiting mechanism. I've been, actually was at the like LinkedIn headquarters. So LinkedIn is that job social platform. And they're looking at different ways to identify signals that someone is able to do that. Because just because you graduated from the school, does this mean you're good? Maybe, maybe not, right? You're more likely in a certain case. But if you graduated from the school and volunteered here and did this and this, all there are more signals that say you're probably going to be a great fit for this particular role. And the world is changing where it's not about titles anymore. It's more about skills, right? Because the world will change tomorrow, will change next year. So the title where you are hired as a developer, right? A coder, they're not going to be coders anymore, right? Because AI will just do that. But someone needs to validate the code that it's good from an architecture, that it fits the business requirements, that whatever it is. So a developer is going to be very different. So the skills need to be accounted for versus the job titles that, that you had, right? So there's going to be a different signaling mechanism that's probably not going to be like, self-proclaimed or whatever you do on your resume. It's going to be, maybe it's going to be a, crowdsourced. What do you think of Luki? Right. And then all the feedback that comes in, says that, okay, I might be a good fit for this role. Right. And maybe it turns into a popularity contest. So how do you go about, like, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, but someone will bet, and probably AI will be part of that, where they can do it on math, where they're going to be able to signal differently. Because, on a resume, you can put anything you want. Right? And maybe when they get to the background check, they find out that it's not correct. But if depending on who you are, you could kind of sneak through a whole bunch of different things that, that you probably shouldn't have, right? But yeah, someone will invent something, but there'll probably be some level of, given that there's all this AI spoofing and stuff, there'll probably be some sort of reputational community validation in there at some point in there. But yeah, I don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept to explore. I mean, you do worry about, like, I always believe that what gets measured gets managed and eventually gets mismanaged. And so you'd be interested to see how they manage or deal with all that. But like, that's a really interesting concept where basically the personal brand starts to drive hiring and the roles you get and the rooms you get into, because trust becomes much more important. Because with AI, it means that you can do almost anything. You can create fake resumes, fake roles, fake companies if you want, fake websites to kind of prove that X was done. Literally probably create a fake video of someone referring you. Who do I just, all that is possible. We're kind of rounding up here, but I want to ask about mistakes people make. Like, so if you, with from the anecdotal data and the coaching data you have, what are some of the things you see immigrants get wrong when it comes to soft skills in the Canadian workplace?
Well, from the Canadian, I mean, there's such a spectrum of folks in there. So it's a broad question. I would probably say it's the importance of relationships and probably their social skills, right? Because yes, you're hired to do the job, right? But part of the interview process, the vetting process, the filtering process is also, would I mind having coffee with you, meeting you at the lunchroom and hang out at the team building event or the holiday party? Would you fit within us, right? Sure, you can get the job done, but so can the other 100 people that applied, right? So why you? So the concept of building relationships in work, outside of work, where there's now a pretty blurry line between the two for some folks. Now there are more and more like workplace friendships, right? Which is kind of more and more acceptable. The hustle culture of work hard, play hard, right? Cause you're working in the, to the late nights and weekends and stuff like that. So you get to know your coworkers pretty well. And if they don't like you, why would they hire you? that sort of thing. So the social skills, the importance of relationships, and especially at the higher levels, because at the lower levels, yes, it's a technical skill. Yes, we prize you for being able to do this and that. But at the higher levels, it's all about relationships, right? The so-called politics that happens. There's no such thing as politics. It's just collaboration, but with different priorities and goals, right? Because the CFO wants something different than the CHRO, which is wants something different than the CTO, right? They have different priorities and goals, but they all come from the same pool. And that collaboration interaction gets labeled as politics because they have different forces pulling them, right? And if you don't appreciate that, then it becomes more challenging. So the biggest mistake, or maybe the other part, is I guess a combo of communication, because in social skills, it's communication skills applied between an interaction with someone else. So maybe I'll take that back and I'll say social skills, communication skills in that is probably the top one.
Whew. That, I mean, I like how, you know, why I was smiling was how you described politics. I do think that sometimes some of it is funny, because then the human element starts to forget into it, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right in the sense that once you kind of frame it as folks are literally competing for their priorities and their goals, then we can argue what the priorities are, the right ones and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that's what they're literally doing. And that sort of helps you manage the land, whatever it is, the lay of the land and how everyone is playing their cards at each point in time.
Because when you're at that level, you might say, okay, I'll concede on this and I'll help you on this side if you help me on this side, right? So there's all that stuff. And then that happens at the middle levels, it happens at the lower levels, but a slightly different scale and intensity. But if you're trying to get into like what to improve, it's all of those things that I mentioned, right? Because the other part that you don't want to neglect is things like your physical health.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're not exercising, if you're not eating well, if you're not sleeping, right? And that's affected by your mental health, because you're not thinking good instead of bad, right? Not able to manage that stress and anxiety. But you can't manage your financial health because you're dipping into your savings and they're almost done, and I have to get a survival job and stuff like that. Like, that stuff weighs on you. And how can I do my best in an interview when I can barely pay the bills, right? Yeah. But one of the things on the social side, which is helpful, is if you build that good network of folks, and there's a lot of folks that will help, right? Because we've been there, we've done that. we know what it's like. There are folks, not everybody, right? Yeah. But there are a bunch of folks. So if you can find those and you build your social circles in a way that's supportive, like, you'll be taken care of, right? And oftentimes that's with a bit of faith. So that spiritual health that I talk about, whether you're religious or not, all right, there's something there.
Yeah.
But if we get into that, it will help us all out, right? So, but they're all, this is why I struggle to pick like one, because they're all super interrelated, right? Because if you take one part away, it's like a link to a chain. If you take one link away, there's no chain. It's just links, right?
I like how you put it, because it just feels like everyone talks about the hard skill. And yes, like, you're right, that's what you said earlier about this. Just, you're competing with a ton of people. You're a ton of people who have the same skill as you. So the question is, can I work with you? Can you fit in? Are you someone I can trust? Are you someone that we can trust with company secrets? Are you someone that we can trust to do the right thing? I mean, are you someone who you can trust to work with clients? Just all those questions that are, they have no binary rating to where you can either go backward and forward and say, oh, his smiles are at a 10. So we can hire up a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird. Yeah. I don't know.
And this is where like soft skills come in, because they were labeled soft skills because hard skills are easy to measure. Like 2 + 2 = 4,
Yeah.
But if I were to say, am I a good communicator? Like, what does that mean? Like, I'm pretty good, but compared to like a Barack Obama, not even close. Right? So compared to him, I'm like a 3 out of 10.
Right? Yeah.
So it's all relative. And the other part is you cannot actually improve your soft skills. It's like saying to someone, get better at sports.
Explain that better, please.
Yeah. So if I say get better at sports, what the hell does that mean? Right. But if, and then if, even I say, okay, let me pick a sport. Let's say soft skills, communication, get better at communication. What the hell does that mean? And it's like saying get better at basketball. So, but if I say get better at dribbling, right? Have better court sense, improve your shooting percentage. That's like saying stand up straighter, look someone in the eye, speak a little bit louder, open your mouth more when you speak. Well, I can do that.
Yeah. Right?
So all these soft skills are actually these micro behaviors that are assembled together, and now I can measure them, right? And that might be how it is, where AI will figure out the complex formula on, yes, based on that conversation, Luki is a level 5 communicator. I don't even know what that means, but AI will be able to do that, and that's better than a level 4, which is not as good as a level 6 or whatever it is on a scale. That's what's out there, where we're just starting to unravel all the components of soft skills. What it really takes to become human. Because we all kind of know it and we all take for granted getting this. But how do you know you're a good communicator? How do you know you're a good friend? How do you know you're have a positive mindset? It's hard to show, yeah. But with all these different things, and AI will probably be part of the solution that shows us the way.
My last question for you before I ask you the question from the book of questions is, what's the one question I should have asked you that you think other immigrants or someone who's planning to move here would learn from about soft skills?
The question that I should ask,
I should have asked them. So you probably just give me the answer. The answer probably just works. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the it's going back to what I said, is really understanding what are soft skills, where you are, and what do you need to improve, right? And part of it is a good hard look at yourself on where you need to improve, right? So there's an expression that I found that I like, is your mouth is an inch from your nose, but it takes you someone else to tell you your breath stinks.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people can't say, they're good. They're okay. And they're not landing an interview. But they should be if they're good.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're not landing an interview, that actually might mean your breath stinks. And unfortunately, a lot of Canadians are so polite that they're going to let you have stinky breath, right? For a while. Because yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, that's good. Versus getting that actual friend to give you that candid advice and saying, Dozy, good start, but here are all the things that you need to do and to improve, because you have a lot of potential, but that's not going to cut it. Right?
Yeah.
There are very few people who are willing to do that. So if you can find that very honest, candid person, because there's tons of opportunity here, but you're going to have to put in a lot of work and effort to get there. So, yeah, I would want people to really understand what they're getting themselves into and all the work that it's going to take. Because there's lots of opportunity, but it does take work. Some people are lucky, right? Some people are not as much.
Yeah. That's really good advice. Now this.
Okay.
Pick one number from between 1 and 291.
Well, I'll usually go with the low one. So I was born on the 24th. So I'll go with 24.
Okay. Let's see what that says. I'm almost there. Oh, this is a moral question. Would you completely rewrite your child's college application essays if it would help them get into a better school?
No. So for me, I've actually had conversations with folks is I am not 100% sure that I would even want my kid to attend college or university. Mm-hmm. Because in my world is I'm a proponent of, I think there's a Mark Twain quote that says, don't let school get in the way of education. Where unfortunately going to school and getting an education are not the same thing. And a lot of the schools out there are showing, their true colors, where what does me spending $100,000 and 4 years of my life on a piece of paper getting me, right? So, and especially now with the knowledge economy, moving more into AI and the relationship economy, like, why can't I just learn it all from ChatGPT? Right? So what does that piece of paper actually mean? And if you actually talk to a lot of folks in the education world, a lot of it is about what happens outside of the classroom, right? Yeah. The relationships you build, the experiences that you have, right? And there, people are successful not because of the system, but in spite of the system, of all the secondary, tertiary, ancillary things around it. But the class itself that you paid all that money for,
it's not really not exactly
what you paid for it. So that question necessitates that I would want them to go to college, university. And my hope, aspirationally, is actually to create a different alternative. Right. Because right now, out of high school, you go to college, you go to university, you go to the trades, or you go right into the workforce. Those are your four options. Right. But what if I have no idea what I want to do with my life? Wouldn't it be better spent, instead of spending whatever $20,000 a year on tuition or whatever it is now? What if I traveled the world for a year and got experiences and worked part time at a something or other? Right? It doesn't have to be at a restaurant. It could be for a marketing agency. It could be for an educational firm. It could be whatever. Like, how much would I learn from that experience versus sitting in a class, right? Writing a few assignments, getting an exam, which I crammed for the night before, and I forgot everything the next day. Right? What did that actually teach me? Right? So all of those great things. I wouldn't want to rewrite an application for that.
Fair points. I mean, I do think that the education system needs a reboot.
Yes.
There's a lot.
And there are a lot of good educators out there. There's a lot of good programs out there. But on the whole, it's kind of an 80-20 rule. There's probably 20% that are doing a great job, and 80% is like, why did they even do that? Why did they even go here? Right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Isaac. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been a really, 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 really good one. And a great way to open the year.
My pleasure. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate what you're doing and allowing all the newcomers. There's hope. There's a lot of people that are there to help. And again, it's up to you to reach out for them and up to you to decide whether it's good or it's bad.
Yeah. There's hope. I like that. That's really just hope, because it's so easy to kind of feel like it's over. It's not over. Like, still so much to do. But thank you, man.
My pleasure.